Well, it's very good to be with you today. And my wife and I are delighted to be here. And we're going to take our Bibles this morning and read a portion from God's Word in Luke's Gospel, chapter 2. Luke's Gospel, chapter 2. And we'll read in at verse 6 of Luke chapter 2. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things, and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them. Now, we're going to read down the chapter into verse 25. Verse 25. This is when the parents bring the child Jesus up to the temple. We read these words, And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord Christ. And he came, and by the Spirit, into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God, and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles, and the glory of thy people Israel. And the Lord will bless our hearts this morning with the reading of his precious word. Our gracious God and loving Heavenly Father, we pause for a moment in thy presence again and give thee thanks for this wonderful story of the coming into this world of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we pray this morning that thou wilt look into our hearts and see the needs that we have there. And blessed God and Father, by thy Holy Spirit, that thou wilt minister to our needs. We thank thee that he has come. The Lord Jesus Christ came. The Holy Spirit has come to bring the person of Christ to us. So, loving Father, help us this morning that each one of us will have a living relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ before we leave this place. Bless us to this end, we pray thee, as we give thee thanks in the Savior's worthy and precious name. Amen. Well, as most of you know, my wife and I are down here visiting from London, Ontario. That's away up in snow country, you know. It's not like Christmas down here, but it is Christmas. And you know, we're from London, Ontario, and we've lived there for quite a number of years. If you don't know where London, Ontario is, if you know where Detroit is, perhaps, and you know where Toronto is, well, it's right between the two. If you go 120 miles to the east, you'll come to Toronto. And if you go 120 miles sort of southwest, you'll come to Detroit. And we're right between those two big centers. And we fellowship with the Lord's people there in the assembly, one of the assemblies in London. And we have a little ministry around some of the country assemblies in that part of the country, for which we're very thankful. So Faye and I are just delighted to be here with you this morning. You know, we were here, well, don't pin me down to the exact date, but we were here approximately 20 years ago. And it's nice to see some of the people that we knew then that are still here. And we thank the Lord for that. Then we met the names that come to mind. And if you were here then, and I don't mention your name this morning, forgive me for that, but that Jim and Elizabeth Gilbert were here then, and we remember them. And, of course, Mrs. Majonia, and we remember her husband as well, you know, but he's going to be with the Lord now. And Mrs. Majonia, nice to see her again. And our song leader this morning, Ernie Woodhouse, is here. And we remember meeting Ernie back then too. So it was just a delight to get to see these folks again as we've come here. And as Ernie said, it was four old men that were up here this morning, two from Scotland and two from England. So pardon the wanderings of an old man this morning, you know. But I'm going to give you a hint as I go on, that if you put two and two together, you'll find out how old I am. But, you know, there's another couple in the audience this morning, too, that have fond memories of, and that's Mr. and Mrs. McNeil. It's nice to see them here again. You know, one time when we came down here, I think it was probably around that time, we went to visit them in North Carolina, and with a nice visit with them. And when Faye and I were driving down, you know, we were just talking in the car coming down, and we were saying, you know, I wonder where Mr. and Mrs. McNeil are now. You know, it's a pity that we never really kept in touch with them after that 20 years. But when we arrived in the park and met Jim, and he said, you know, Mr. and Mrs. McNeil are here. Well, you know, what a wonderful thing that was. And we threw the suitcases into a room, and the first thing we did, we just went round the corner and we reminisced. Now, why do I say that? Well, why do I say that? Well, Mr. McNeil, in 1950, you know, when he was in Scotland, he came to the village where I lived, and he preached the gospel there, in the village, in Fife, in Lahore, Fife, Scotland. I don't think you'll find Lahore on any of the maps, but, you know, it was a coal mining district. Now, all the coal bins are all gone away, and they've rejuvenated the place, as it were, and it looks very nice. But Mr. McNeil came with the gospel there, to that village, to the assembly at Bethany Hall. And I remember those days very well. Now, I was just a young whippersnapper, and I was only 13 years old, if it was in 1950, you know. It was 1950, 49. So I was 12 years old then. I was 12 years old. And I can remember the gospel being preached day after day. Now, I didn't get saved then, but I was in the Sunday school and I graduated into the Bible class. Now, what we did in Fife, or what the assemblies in Fife always did every year, they had what was called a Bible class camp. And after you attended the Bible class all year, the students from the Bible class from the assembly where I was from, and also the various assemblies in Fife, we all went. What we did is we took a school someplace, a school, and all the young people from the Bible classes in the Kingdom of Fife, as we called it, all went to this school for 2 weeks. And it was in the year of 1954 when I was at that Bible class camp that it was then that I came to a personal knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. 1954. So that was a wee while after those meetings that Mr. McNeil had. But, you know, I can remember those meetings, and the guest speaker was Mr. Dennis Barnes from Madison, who you probably know, I'm sure you know. And Dennis Barnes was the speaker at the Bible class camp. And we were all sitting there, hearing the word, singing the closing hymn. Our brother referred to the closing hymn that moved him this morning at one of the meetings when he was a boy of 13. I was a boy of 16 now. And I was just getting ready to get out into the world and have a good time. And I was in that meeting with Dennis preaching the word, sung the hymn. And Dennis closed in prayer, and I can't remember his exact words. In fact, I don't know what he spoke about that night. But his exact words in closing was, "Lord, if anybody should leave this building not saved and go into an eternity which lasts forever and forever and forever." Something to that effect. And every time he said those words, "forever," it just pierced my heart. Pierced my heart. And I was under the conviction of sin. I was under the conviction of sin. And you know, I had a friend who was sitting beside me. His name was Charlie Laurie, again, a good, you know, people who were known in the Bethany Hall, a big family of them in Bethany Hall. And young Charlie was sitting beside me at that meeting in the schoolhouse in Perth. And he said to me, he said, "Miller, you know, if you're going to get saved, why don't you do it tonight?" Eh? Now, there's a direct approach, isn't it? You know, we don't like to buttonhole. But Charlie probably just knew that I was troubled that night, you know. And he said, "Miller, if you're going to get saved, why don't you do it tonight?" And I said, "Charlie, I'm just going to do that. I'm just going to do that." And remember one of the brethren who sat down with me, John Rollo, with his name, who was a headmaster, that is a principal of a school, who was working at the camp, and he sat down and he showed me from John's Gospel, chapter 5, in verse 24, how I could receive the Lord Jesus Christ as my own personal Savior. And I did that. And I did that. And that was when I became a Christian. You say, "Well, I thought you were attending the Bible class and so on. You were brought up in a Christian." Yes, I was. But I never had that. You see, we're all born outside. We're all born outside. And we have to come in individually. Individually. And I did that. That night at the Bible class camp in the little village of Stanley in Perthshire. And I received the Lord Jesus Christ as my own personal Savior. And I've gone on since then, as I could say with in a measure with what Paul said, "Having obtained help from God, I continue unto this day." It's been its ups and downs, trials and difficulties and sorrows, leaving the old country, you know, and coming to a new land and so on. But the Lord has been gracious with us. and he's brought us along by his grace, and we continue unto this very day. And now, you know, I say that this morning, just my mind was, we were exhorted this morning to remember, you know, and I just remember these things today. And I just wanted to share them for the benefit of anyone yet who may not have received the Lord Jesus Christ. And I just say to you this morning, friend, if you're here like that, I just say to you what my friend Charlie said to me. If you're going to get saved, why don't you do it today? Why don't you do it today? Eh? While there's still the opportunity. Well, this is Christmas. This is Christmas, and we want to say a wee word about God's gift. God's gift. Because that's what salvation is. And I just want to say this morning, first of all, that it's God's gift. It's God's gift. And we read in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The Lord said that to Nicodemus, that God so loved the world. And you know, we sometimes preach about the differences between John 3 and John 4. Nicodemus, the proud Pharisee. John 4, the woman at the well who had 6 husbands, and the man that she now lived with wasn't her husband. We contrast these things, but almost, after the Lord said to the woman in John 4, give me to drink, the next thing that he said to that woman was this: if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith unto thee, give me to drink, thou wouldst have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. See, the gift of God, he spoke to you about Nicodemus, and he also spoke about the gift of God to the woman at the well. Salvation is a gift. If thou knewest the gift of God, the Lord said, thou wouldest have asked, and he would have given thee. You see, it's your place to ask. It's God's place to give. Eh? God is always the giver. And you and I, we're in the place of the receiver. And Paul says in Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9, for by grace are you saved, through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And Romans 6 and verse 23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through the Lord Jesus Christ. See, the wages of sin is death, and the gift of God is eternal life through the Lord Jesus Christ. And we know the difference, don't we, between wages and a gift. Wages is something that you earn. A gift is something you get without deserving it. I remember one night in that same village, that coal mining village in Scotland, where the preacher was preaching in the summer evening. In the summertime, in those days, we used to have a midweek open-air meeting in the Rose. And in the evening, the preacher, one of the local brethren, was preaching on that verse in Romans 6:23. And there was a coal miner who was going down on the evening shift to his work. And the preacher was quoting the verse, the wages of sin is death, and the gift of God is eternal life through the Lord Jesus Christ. And the coal miner, as he went by, mockingly, he said, I'll take the wages. I'll take the wages. And that night, he was killed in the coal mine. He took the wages. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through the Lord Jesus Christ. And friend, my first point this morning is that salvation is God's gift. Salvation is God's gift. The next thing I'd like to tell you about this gift is it was a gift that was wrapped. A gift that was wrapped. When we were reading in Luke's Gospel chapter 2 this morning in verse 7, we read that the Lord Jesus Christ, he was wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And when the angel spoke to the shepherds, he said, "This shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." The gift was wrapped. The gift was wrapped. Yeah? The Lord Jesus Christ, he was wrapped in swaddling bands. Wrapped in his swaddling bands, and in the manger laid. The glory of all lands is come to this world's aid. No earthly home was found for him. Guests rudely went and came, for slept the royal child. It was wrapped. And we love to receive a Christmas gift, don't we? It's wrapped. And we say, oh, I wonder what's inside it. I wonder what's inside it. You know, Faye and I have got two grandchildren. And Nicole's 10 and Kevin's 8. And if you give Kevin a gift for his birthday or whatever, of course you give it to him, it's wrapped. But within a second, the wrapping's off. He just tears it apart to see what's in there, eh? God's gift, you know, I was impressed by that when I was reading it. God's gift is wrapped in swaddling bands and laid in a manger. God's gift. It was wrapped. The third thing that I want to say about it this morning is that God's gift was very, very expensive. God's gift was very expensive. It was the gift of his Son. The gift of his Son. That's the gift that we have in Luke's Gospel, chapter 2. The gift of his Son. That's the gift that he gave. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. You know, we often quote a verse, and it's dear to my heart, in Romans 8, in verse 32. We read these words, and I want us to think about them this morning. He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Now, never put the freely in the wrong place in Romans 8, as sometimes we do. We sometimes quote it, he that spared not his own Son, but freely gave. No, he didn't. No, he didn't. God's Son was the very last thing that God would part with. And he's given them as a gift to me. Oh then, how much he must have loved me to give his Son to meet me in my need. And you know where that word freely comes in? Beloved, if God has done that, if God has given his Son to me as a gift, then there's nothing. There's nothing that he'll hold back. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Because he's done the difficult part. He's done the difficult part. He gave his Son. He gave his Son. And as old J.C. Royal said, you know, when you think about who the Son of God is, And it took the Son of God, the second person of the Blessed Trinity, to come into this world, to die for our sins. J.C. Ryle said, in the light of that, what a terrible thing sin must be. Eh? Terrible thing. That it took such a price, such an expensive gift to deal with my sin at the place called Calvary. Oh, beloved, it was an expensive gift. It was an expensive gift. And never minimize that. It cost the best thing that heaven had to be this wonderful gift to meet me in my need. But it's an expensive gift. But then, it's a free gift. It's a free gift. God has paid for it. God has paid for it. It's a free gift. A free gift. And you know, when it comes to salvation, I'm going to tell you, this is the hardest thing for us to learn, that salvation is free. It's free. We used to sing way up in the north of Scotland, "It is finished. What a gospel. Nothing left for you to do but to take with grateful gladness what the Savior did for you." That's it. The heart of man always wants to do something. I want to pay my own. I want to do. Friend, it's free. It's free. Nothing to pay. It's free. The doing has been done. The gift has been bought. It's free. It's free. It's free. Free grace. The gift of God. The gift of God is free. So, what do we have to do then? What do we have to do with it? We have to receive it. To receive it. By a definite act, we receive God's gift. We receive it. They which receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life through one man, Jesus Christ. That's Romans 5 and verse 17. Have you received it? Have you received God's salvation by a definite act of faith? It's free and it's offered, and all you have to do is hold out the hand and receive it. That's all that you're asked to do. The Lord said on the cross, remember, "It is finished. It is finished. The work's done." And we have to receive it. If we don't receive it, what are we doing? We're rejecting it. Eh? Rejecting it. You know, it'd be a terrible thing. This has never happened to me, and I'm sure it's never ever happened to you. For a Christmas time or a birthday, that where you give someone a gift, I'm sure your gift is always received. Eh? I'm sure your gift is always received. But the greatest gift that was ever given, it's a gift that many, many times is rejected. It's rejected. Just think how you would feel, or I would feel, if that would happen to us, that you would offer somebody a gift and they say, "Oh no, no thanks. I don't want it. I don't need it," you know. When you walk out of a gospel meeting without being saved, that's really what you're doing. You're rejecting God's gift. Rejecting God's gift. And what a terrible thing it must be. You know, when you think about it, you know, that when you give a gift to someone that you love, doesn't that make you feel happy? It makes you feel happy, doesn't it? Even though you're a Scotsman and you're giving something, it makes you feel happy that you're able to give a gift. "Oh, I feel good. I've given a gift." Eh? And the person was... But how sad it would make you for your gift to be rejected. And just think how the Lord feels. Just think how the Lord feels, who died on the cross that you might receive the gift of salvation, and for you to reject it, and go on your way. You know, what then do you do with a gift? And we'll wrap this up, what you do is you receive the gift and you thank the giver. That's what you do, eh? Thank you, oh, Miller, thank you very much for giving me that lovely gift. And Paul says in 2 Corinthians 9 and 17, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Yeah? Oh, the wonder of it, friends. The wonder of the gift that God has given to us. And as we were sharing this morning, to lie low at his feet and say thanks. That's all we need to do. God has given us the gift. We've received the gift. And we say, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. You know, I've got a couple of minutes left, because I always like to finish on time. Always. If you're a preacher, finish on time. Finish on time as a preacher. My father was known as be in time. Be in time. You know, and I never want to be known by the young people as, oh, he's the preacher that keeps you late. I never want to be known like that. You know, but in closing, there was a man that we read about in Luke's Gospel, chapter 2, by the name of Simeon, who came to the temple when the Lord was there in the temple. And the Bible says this, it was revealed to Simeon by the Holy Spirit that he should not see death until he had seen the Lord's Christ. That's a wonderful thing, isn't it? To know that he wouldn't die until he saw Christ. And that's very important, friend, in a practical way, for you to see the Lord Jesus Christ by faith, if you're going to see him by sight in the glory. I think of old Joseph in Genesis 45, when his sons came back with the wagons, and his sons said, Joseph is yet alive. And believe that Jacob believed them not. Why should he believe them? Because he had told them a lie 30 years before that. Joseph is yet alive. And it says this, that when he saw the wagons, the spirit of Israel revived, and he said, it is Joseph my son, he is yet alive, I will go and see him before I die. Before I die. And that's the word that Simeon had, that he would not see death until he had seen the Lord Christ. And when he saw him, he took him up in his arms, and he said, now Lord, lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. There it is. He took Christ up his arms, and then he was ready to go. He was ready to go. Oh, it's a wonderful thing, you know, that we celebrate the Lord's first coming into the world at Bethlehem when he was born as a baby there, that we wait for his second coming when he'll come again in power and great glory to receive from this world his own. Friend, have you received the gift? If you haven't, why don't you do it today? Receive it. It's simple. It's so simple. Receive them by faith. But I don't want to complicate you with faith now. If you receive him, take him as your own into your heart, and then, like old Simeon, you'll be ready to go. No matter what happens with this Y2K or anything else, this new millennium that's coming as they speak about, you'll be ready. I'm ready. Many in this meeting are ready to go to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. Receive this gift, friend, and I'll tell you, you won't be lined up at Walmart to take it back on Boxing Day, as we call it up in Canada. This is a gift that once you have it, you'll never part with it. It never breaks down. It never wears out. it goes on and it gets better and better and better all the time. It gets better until one day when we're bathing in the ocean of His love, in the glory. What a wonderful thing it is to be a Christian. And it's all because that night in Stanley, in Perthshire, in 1954, in the country of Scotland, I received the Lord Jesus Christ as my own and personal Savior. And may you do the same thing today for His own namesake. Our Father, we come into Thy presence this morning and give Thee thanks for the Lord Jesus Christ, the gift of gifts, all other gifts in one. And we pray, loving Father, that every one of us will know what it is to have received Him into our hearts as our Lord and as our Savior. Bless Thy word to each of our hearts this day as we give Thee thanks in the Savior's worthy and precious name.